A sermonette from a gentleman by the name of Mr. Scott Lockwood from Denver, Colorado.
Well, good evening, brethren. I do have to say this is probably the latest service I've ever attended, and definitely the latest service I've ever spoke at. And so I debated whether to say good evening or good night, because... But I know that would imply that some of you would be sleeping by the end of the sermonette, which is fine. I don't mind that. But I do have a big brother over here that keeps an eye on everyone, so he'll be looking out. Well, brethren, we finished the third day of the feast. You know, the tours have started. The activities have started going on. And I thought it'd be appropriate to start off with the travel story. Some of you may have heard this before. It was on the internet a few years ago. And so it's something that I'd like you to think about. Think about what you would have done in this situation had you been involved with this in this event. But a young lady was at a large bus station, and she was waiting for her bus. So since she had some extra time, she went to the store, picked up a book and some cookies, and went and sat down and decided to use her time usefully. She must have heard Mr. Budge's sermon yesterday. She figured she'd make some benefit from it. So she was going to use her time usefully and sat down to read her book. As she sat there, she opened up her packet of cookies, and she grabs one out to eat it. And as soon as she does, the gentleman sitting beside her reading his magazine reaches over and grabs a cookie and starts eating it. She couldn't believe what she was seeing, that he would actually do that. She was very irritated, but yet she said nothing. She just thought in her mind, what a jerk. What a fool to do something like that. But there again, she said nothing to him. So ask yourself, what would you have done in that situation? Would you have said something? Would you have kept your mouth shut? Every time she would reach over to grab another cookie, as soon as she did, he would grab another one also. And so she was getting more and more irritated about this gentleman sitting beside her. Would you have said something to him at that point? Would you have caused a scene? She didn't want to cause a scene, so she kept her mouth quiet, but she was getting more and more aggravated as this went on. Finally, she noticed there was one cookie left in the bag, and she wondered what would happen. Before she could reach for it, the gentleman pulls the cookie out, and she gives him this evil glare, like unbelievable. So he breaks the cookie in half and offers her half. At that point, she had enough, she'd seen enough, and she was furious, but didn't want to make a scene still. And so she gets up, grabs her stuff, and storms off, but before she leaves, gives the guy a very evil stare, so she knew, he knew what she had done to him, and off she goes to her bus. So put yourself in that situation. What would you have done? Would you have stormed out? Would you have said something to him? Would you have given him the evil look? What would you have done in that situation? Brethren, all of us are faced with situations like that from time to time. Maybe not this exactly, but in time to time, we'll have situations where we'll come across people that are fairly offensive. The question is, how do we handle that? Do we tend to very quickly snap at others and let them know that they've offended us? Do we try to correct their behavior? What kind of examples are we in that? One of the beautiful things about God's word is he provides some right and proper behavior, some guidance on this. So this evening, I'd like to look at God's word specifically around this subject. And I've titled this, The Lessons from the Cookie. Lessons from a Cookie. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, or Philippians chapter 2, if you spell it wrong like I always do. But Philippians chapter 2, and in Philippians, you know, Philippi was the first church that Paul had established in Macedonia. And the church at Philippi was having trouble dealing with other people inside and outside of the church. So do we ever have issues like that, having trouble dealing with others inside and outside the church? This was affecting the church itself, and therefore it was affecting the furtherance of the gospel. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 14. It says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, or grumbling and arguing. When I read that verse, seven short words, I'm comfortable with 85% of that. It's the all part that I can't really grasp. The other parts I can do, but that all. But so why does Paul say, do all things without complaining and disputing? You know, has he ever had somebody come and take his cookies from him? You know, why would he say that? Why would he say, do all things? Well, here's exactly why Paul says that in verse 15. He says that because that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We should all desire to be considered blameless and harmless. We should all be called children, a child of God without fault, as we do live in a crooked and perverse generation. We don't complain and bicker, so we can shine as lights in the world. In other words, if we do complain and bicker, we will not be a light in the world. You know, sometimes this is a lot easier said than done, because the world is full of increasingly offensive people. You know, I work in the San Francisco Bay Area, and if you're from San Francisco, please don't get offended by this, but there's some really offensive people I come across on a daily basis. And it's not just in San Francisco, it's world around. But the world is collapsing morally, it's collapsing spiritually, financially, safety-wise. I mean, it's continually collapsing, and so more of this is going to be occurring. More offensive behaviors will be occurring. So how much does that weigh on each and every one of us? Does this put us a little bit on edge? Does it make us want to always have our guard up to be ready to snap back? Have our tempers drawn shorter and emotions run higher because we know this is going to happen? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about how to handle ourselves, how to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. So in Paul's letter to Philippi, he writes this back earlier in the chapter in verse 3. So in Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's tough to do sometimes. It's tough to do when you've been offended, when someone has wronged you, but yet it says, esteem them better than yourself. When you've been wronged by someone, when they've taken something that was yours. In verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So he says we have a responsibility to take care of others. We have a responsibility to take care of each other continually. That's our responsibility. As disciples of Christ, we should not be selfish, proud, thinking ourselves better than anyone else. We should consider others first. We can, you know, not be offended by their actions. We need to think about our actions before they become actions. Think before act. I know my dad used to always tell me that. Never worked, but he used to tell me that at least. I tried. But, you know, we've always heard, you know, treat other people as you want to be treated. And that's not necessarily easy to do either, especially when they've offended us, especially when they've wronged us. Doesn't sound fair, but that's God's way. Give people the benefit of the doubt. It means we need to treat people innocent unless proven otherwise. It means we need to give them a favorable view. It means we assume that they are right and that we are wrong. It means that we believe something good rather than something bad. So going back to that story, in your own mind, and this is only you can answer this for yourself, but what would you have done at the bus station when someone did that to you? You know, the woman didn't do anything. She just gave him a nasty look and then stormed off to go get her bus, which to me, it sounded like an appropriate response. Let the guy know you've wronged me and don't say anything and walk off. Besides, she didn't offer him any of his cookies. He just took them. Well, once she got on the bus, she was continuing on her journey. And she was starting to calm down, but still a little aggravated from what she had experienced. And she looked into her bag to take out a book to continue reading. To her surprise was a packet of cookies that she had bought at the store. Untouched, unopened. She felt ashamed. She realized that she had been wrong. She'd forgotten she'd put the cookies in her bag and was eating his cookies. The man had shared his cookies with her without feeling angry, without feeling bitter. While she was very furious about what had happened, now she couldn't even apologize to the man. She was on her bus on down the road. And the only thing she could think about was he even took the last cookie, broke it in half, and gave it to me, and never said a word. How often do we have a bad attitude when something's wronged us? When in reality, we may be the ones in the wrong. This probably happens more often than we all realize. I know it happens more often than I realize sometimes, and I know someone's done wrong to me, and then later you find out, wow, that was my bad. Well, as we continue throughout the feast, brethren, and even our travels throughout the tours, our trips back home, as we're interacting with each other, let's think about our cookies. Let's conclude back in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is a letter about Jesus Christ, who is our model for humility, service, and peace. And Paul provides this to the brethren at Philippi, which I want to leave with us all here, starting in verse 9. Philippians 1 and verse 9. And thus I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And I'll just add, amen.